everybody, and welcome to the DestoProds.com Anime and Manga Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today, we are brought to you by... Let's go with Jinx. They have gamer-themed clothing from, like all over the internet, and include from some of your favorite games, including the Minecraft, Blizzard has a bunch of stuff on there, Valve does too. They have all this fantastic clothing and, like, collectibles on there at really great prices. So click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site and go check out Jinx. Jinx, geek and gamer stuff. They got it. While we don't have as much geek or gamer stuff on our store, we do have our own store. So head over to destoprods.com/store and check it out. As always, we are looking for art for our shirts and other products. We have, like, we have hoodies, we have iPad and iPhone cases, we have coffee mugs and all that shit. But we need more art for it. So if anyone out there has some art or has the ability to make art, then please send it our way. We'd love to have it for you. We'd love to have your guys participate with us. So I'm currently will be giving to DestoProds jokes and references and stuff, but if you just have some art you think we'd like, please don't hesitate to send it our way. Send it to both of you on at DestoProds.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. I'm your host, the Dead Man, Joe de Bovion.
Hello.
And Pudgetron.
Yeah, hi, hi.
So yeah, Pudgetron, what have you been reading and or watching?
Well, it's reading again. I haven't really been watching a whole lot since I was thoroughly disappointed with this anime season, to be honest. But, so I'm spending my time reading manga.
Okay, what have you been reading?
But anyway, let's start with the newest one on my list, I guess. The, Six No Trigger. It's sort of a unique, at least nothing that I've seen before, take on sort of the hired gun.
Okay, unique in what way? Storyline. Unique in what way?
Just the way they have the characters set up. Basically, there's the one character, Tsubame, is literally four different people. This isn't like a split personality thing. He's literally four different people that are sharing a body.
One body? Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of like a trine thing.
I guess. But basically the way they
switch... three people sharing one body.
But basically it's... Their left hand is a robotic hand, and it's a different left hand for each person, depending on the person. So they take off the hand and put the other person's on, and it switches them.
So their body actually switches, like, depending on what hand is on there?
Yeah. It's a completely different body. One's a, one's Penguin, who's a small, quiet kid. He's the super sniper of them.
Is his hand an umbrella?
No. It's just a...
I'm gonna hit you!
It's just a hand. There's no crossover. Then there's Washi.
Can you imagine how awesome that would be? Just the Penguin and... Just like have that kind of thing happen, but in the Batman universe, where Batman, Joker, Penguin, and... insert fourth villain, insert third villain here. I all share one body.
Batman shares a body with all those villains. Yes, that totally would work.
Yeah.
And that'd be fucking stupid, but it'd be awesome.
But anyway, then there's Washi, who's basically huge, muscle-bound arm guy with a Gatling gun grafted to his arm, and that's what they put on for it.
Is he black?
No. Stop making assumptions.
But usually in anime, big muscular dudes with machine guns on their arms are usually black. If Final Fantasy has taught me anything,
you're mixing up anime with video games.
It's close enough. It's from Square. They make anime.
But anyway. and Suzume is a high school girl who wields dual pistols.
Pistols?
Yeah. She has two handguns.
Is, Yeah, I know. It just it still sounds weird. Like when you hear like when you hear someone has like two pistols, she's dual wielding pistols, not wields dual pistols.
Whatever. I'm reading what it says on this description. So
I know. It still sounds funny.
Whatever. And then there's the quote unquote original body, Tsubame. He basically uses anything. He's a martial artist, mostly though. He's a very good close combat expert. So. And it's basically, thus far, the chapters are sort of just different jobs. Like each chapter is a job, but there's sort of hints of how this situation came about. They're going to delve into that and stuff. And the art's very good. I enjoy it so far. It's been sort of just introductory chapters for the most part. Okay. So they've yet to get into the real meat of what I think the story will be. But I'm enjoying it.
Okay, how many chapters in are they?
I think it's two. But they're 40 page chapters. So they're a good.
Damn.
So.
I look forward to in the future when the chapters will have been reduced to 15 pages each.
Well.
Because shonen manga.
Yeah.
that always happens. Like pretty much every series I've read were like, the first few chapters are like these huge things that are actually bigger than like standard comic books. I was like, oh man, this is awesome. And then as the series goes on, just they start getting smaller and smaller each week.
And it was really bad for things like Bleach. Cause like, in those 15 pages, nothing would happen.
Well, yeah, like,
stuff would happen,
like,
but like the story wouldn't progress at all.
Yeah, I remember like in Naruto, it was like the chapters were like 15 pages long, and then it was like three chapters in a row of just explanation.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it was, like, dual-page spreads of explanation. Of, like, oh, man, we had this huge scene showing this awesome fight. It's like, and all it is explaining how they use lightning. And that was it. That was the entire page. Like, why do you need a dual-page spread for that? Like, seriously, I could have fit on one page. It actually did fit on one page.
Does it do the same thing that the anime does of doing, like, a ridiculous amount of flashbacks, though?
Not really, like, the flashbacks that it does do usually have a big significance in the story. Like, well, actually, like, no, wait, now that I think about it, in the most recent chapters, they've gotten better at it because right now they're kind of in the middle of war, so it's all just fighting with a couple of chapters, with like a couple of pages of explanation in between. But in the earlier stuff, it was like they have, like, it was, like, the thing that comes to mind is the, when they were fighting Orochimaru's guys, like the Sounds, I think their names were.
Oh yeah, the
like all the ones with the curse marks.
The hidden sound, yeah.
Yeah, or, the hidden sound.
Oh, them.
Yeah, okay, not the hidden sound. Yeah, well, you know, I remember a big chunk of that was they like set up a plan, they had the plan fall into place, and the guy's like, "What?" And then it would flash back, and then have like 27 pages explaining how the plan worked. I was like, okay, that's nice to know, but can we get back to the fighting now? And then he'd punch a guy, and then they punch a guy, then he'd go to run away, then he'd follow to another part of the plane, and then they'd go flashback and then explain that part of the plan. They've gotten better.
Anyways.
Not like the Akatsuki? With what's his face? The invincible guy?
What?
Hidan?
Yeah. That was,
oh, I couldn't hear what you said.
Are you talking about Hidan from the Akatsuki when okay, now
It's when Sasuke first leaves the village and then those five guys like put him in the like give him like one of the pills and put him in a barrel.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, those guys I'm talking about. Like the one who eats chakra, the one who like summons the one who summons giants controls him with a flute.
Spider-Man. The Hidan fight with Shikamaru gets pretty explainy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember, so, Hidan's the immortal one who worships death, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I like this fight with Asuma.
Yeah.
That was a good fight. It wasn't very explainy, but it was still, like, it showed, like, one thing of, okay, that's how he did it. And that was like a page, and the rest of it was just, yeah, I'm gonna fuck myself up, and I'm gonna fuck you up instead.
Yeah, well, his fight with Shikamaru is explainy, but it's not, like, bad explainy, because it's Shikamaru. That's how his fighting works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with the other guys, it was just... It was like, oh wait, there's a trap. Let me take five pages to explain how it works with diagrams. It was weird. Whoa.
Anyways, back to what Pudge has been reading.
Yeah. Yes, Pudge. Sorry about that.
But anyway, that was Six No Trigger. It's good. You should read it. It seems okay. It definitely shows promise.
Well, now, you're getting real choppy.
Am I? Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, that'll sound great. But we will move on to Bonoji, which is...
Bonoji?
Yes. Bonouji. Bonoji.
It sounds like a sneeze. Like a really messed up sounding sneeze. Just like, Bonoji!
Well, whatever. That's not what...
And how about that air... And what's the deal with airline food?
Okay, so the story of that is a very sort of slice of life thing. So don't expect anything spectacular out of this one, but it's very nice. It's a nice little love story. Yada yada yada. But Ozawa has just broke up with her boyfriend of about 5 years and is sort of in the process of, you know, getting used to being by herself, because they were living together for a large chunk of that. And she sort of by chance runs into Oyamada, who lives a couple floors below her, and he's a bit of a loner. He does, his job doesn't really require him to leave his apartment. And his brother sends him a bunch of stuff. So he's got boxes of random shit all over his apartment. And basically they bond over just sort of, you know, hey, let's open a box. And they do. And, like, oh, this stuff's cool. Sort of that kind of situation. They just kind of hang out.
They open one box next and release a horrible flesh-eating demon.
No.
That's what it's leading up to.
It really isn't. They did have, at one point there was kind of very occult looking apartment, that was just cause they felt like redecorating the place.
And you know what, when I think of redecorating, I think of the occult.
Yeah, they got a bunch of sort of shrine supplies or whatever from his brother.
You know, I mean, like, one of my walls right now is painted in goat's blood.
You know what that doorway needs? Needs the skull of a virgin. Right there.
It's like, you know what? Let's put a nice goat of Mendez right down the floor. You know, it'll be like a throw rug. A throw rug of baby blood.
Yeah.
It smells like fish.
A relatively short period of time. But anyway, it's not really important to the story. But it's basically a 3-character manga, which helps for some really brilliant storytelling. There are some minor other characters that show up from time to time, but it's basically Oyamada, Ozawa, and somebody who was originally one of Oyamada's few friends, who actually came around. I forget his name right now. Like Shizu something, I think. But basically that's what Oyamata and his friend would do. They would just hang out and open boxes and fiddle around with the weird shit that was in them.
So wait, are these like their boxes, or are these just boxes they have lying around?
Oyamata's brother, older brother, is a bit of an impulse shopper. So he buys a bunch of this shit and sends a bunch of random stuff.
Okay. So that makes more sense, because I was like, wait, so they're just stealing people's packages and opening them?
Yes. Yeah. A slice of life romance story about three...
stealing mail.
Thieves.
Well, it's not really thieves, just like head... Just, what they do is they head down to the post office, ask like, hey, is there any unpicked up mail? And it's like, well, we have this stuff. They just grab it all and run away.
And they do this every week, and they never...
Yeah, it's foolproof.
But yeah, it's the... spoiler alert, it's the love story that develops between Oyamata and Ozawa. In case you didn't catch on to that one. It becomes quickly apparent that that's gonna happen, that is what's happening. And it, you know, sort of, it's every sort of shut-in's dream scenario where they make friends with a big girl and it blossoms into something more.
I know I've had that dream.
So, I really do enjoy it. It's a nice break from explosions and crazy psychopaths and everything.
Yeah, it's nice to take a break from that every once in a while. Just get like a nice, sober story.
Yeah, it's a good...
cleanses the palate.
Yeah, and it certainly has its... There hasn't been a whole lot of drama in it, and it has a good sparkling of some fairly low-key comedy, too, so.
Drama might come from when, like, they open one of the boxes and just find, like, a bunch of panties in there. Like, Oyamata, what are all these?
Well, I suppose that,
You see, this is why I don't write kids.
And I suppose Ozawa has yet to meet his older brother, despite him... Actually, she did, but she didn't realize that it was older brother at the time. Anyway, it's sort of a running gag that they never show his face. The older brother's face at all, and, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. He's just sort of a faceless guy who showed up twice, and the first time it was sort of a pokeroo kind of thing. For those listening who weren't born in the 90s, pokeroo was a kid's show. Or it was on the polka dot door, sorry. And this character, Pokeroo, would show up, and one of the hosts would miss him, like, come in just after he left. And like, oh, I was just playing with Pokeroo. Darn, I missed him again? Sort of that situation. It was very amusing for Chamber. But,
yeah, man. Oh, polka dot shorts, man. That has been so long. Like, so, like, was another running of that joke, like, coincidence? I think not.
But anyway, yeah, it's that kind of situation. But it's a very minor point. The focus is on the relationship between the two. And the friend is there for some other, for another person to actually be in the show for the other two characters to bounce things off of. It's very good. Extremely well written. I enjoy it immensely. I think the most recent chapter was released a couple weeks ago now. And that would be the 24th chapter.
Okay.
So, check it out. Bonoji. I was thinking I might try and translate that roughly, but no, I don't think I'd be able to. Anyway, into English for those thinking. Anyway. I am starting to ramble. There was another one, which I may have mentioned in the Dark Ages at the beginning of this podcast, of the first couple episodes of our podcast.
Yes, but back in those horrible, horrible days.
I'll mention it again. Our intrepid hero, Sakata Goto, he likes to... The way he relaxes is he zones out. He puts in his music and he just zones out to music. More often than not, it's his favorite band, Incest. It's called Incest. And...
Who doesn't love Incest? I mean, honestly.
It just relaxes him, and...
Incest always relaxes me.
The thing about the band is that they're basically, they've managed to produce, I think it's a couple albums, and pretty much nobody knows really who the band members are. And then it gets announced that they're going to do like an unprecedented live performance in his town. So naturally he jumps at the chance. And
yeah.
So he jumps a chance to go see the singer, who's basically the reason it's so relaxing to him, on stage. And as it so happens, he finds out at the concert that the singer is the new transfer student. To him. And in an even greater twist, it's his old sister from...
I can't squeal that high.
It's his older sister from the... His parents were separated. They were separated at a very early age, and I'm trying to remember who lives with who. I think he lives with his mom. And she...
So does incest, like, take on a more literal meaning in this story, or is it just the name of the band?
It's...
Because this is Japan we're talking about.
Oh, I'm aware. I'm just trying to see how easily I can tiptoe around it. too much. It's certainly... There is some sprinkling of certain themes.
A nice sprinkling of incest on the parfait that is taboo.
But yeah, and it's sort of dealing with having the idol singer sister and the sort of accidentally acquired affections, mutual affection between him and another classmate. And the not-so-accidental affections of a middle schooler who lives down the hall from him, from his apartment.
Okay.
She's been just there for comic relief.
Man, it sounds pretty cool. What did you say the name of this series was again?
Seishun Pop.
Seishun Pop, okay.
I would not have mentioned it at the beginning.
You didn't? I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it's Seishun Pop! Exclamation point.
Well, of course, there has to be an exclamation point.
But yeah, it's good. I'm not going to say the art's bad. It's just not a style that a lot of things are drawn in. It does take a bit of getting used to, I guess. It's a departure from standards a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
It's a good story. It's funny. It's a good read all around. Now I should stop playing and let somebody else talk.
Okay, so Bobby-Wan, what have you been reading and or watching?
Watching, I've mostly been watching the same stuff I usually watch. So I'm not going to get into that too much. Other than there's something I want to say on, whatever. Let's go over that. So, reading. There's something I went back to after months and months and months and months and months of not reading it, and that is Rosario to Vampire Season 2.
Okay, yeah, I need to get back into Rosario Plus Vampire at some point.
Oh my, it's gotten quite interesting, and it's all because Mocha's family is totally fucked up, and all seem to want to kill each other.
Yeah, like, the last time I read a chapter, like, I think they were just getting out of Mocha's memories of a kid, of being a kid.
Yeah, a lot's happened.
Yeah, I'm guessing, like, because at the time, wasn't, like, Fairy Tail invading them?
Yes, they were.
Storming compound.
So, let me recap and spoil a bit, but mostly recap what's gone on since then. Tsukune has undergone the human transformation technique, which almost caused him to turn into a full-blown ghoul, which is like, what we saw before with the black shit on his face wasn't apparently what a full ghoul is. He, like, fully transforms in this being demon-looking motherfucker. So basically, the human transformation technique is something that will turn you from a human into a monster, which basically makes him into a full vampire. So he goes through that, almost goes full ghoul, but then gets saved when Kurumu makes out with him.
Of course.
Hooray!
Because, you know, Succubus is the cure for ghoul.
Well, yeah, she uses her mind control to cause him to go back. Remember, if she kisses you, she can control your mind. Yeah?
Yeah, I know.
So anyways, so they all train and they're like, oh, okay, let's go get Mocha back, because she left. She decided to go so that they didn't get, you know, all murdered. She's like, no, I'll just let them take me. And then they're like, fuck that, we're gonna come after you! After training. So they train a lot, and then they go after her. And so, a bunch of fights happen, and people are nearly dead, but not dead. So anyways, now, in what I've just read, Tsukune had his big showdown with Mocha's sister. Which one is it?
Kalua?
Sorry?
Kalua?
Kokoa? No! Not her. Not the little ginger one, the one with the black hair that fucking murders everything.
Oh,
I can't remember her name. I just read this, but I can't remember her name. Anyways,
In terms of Mocha's sisters, I think I've only seen up to Kalua.
No, you've seen this one. She shows up when, Fairy Tail invades. And she's in Mocha's memories. Heavily.
It has been a long. She's it one has of been the a
main
long
focuses.
Time.
She's the one who killed Mocha's mother.
Right. Yes, her. The one who just goes fucking kill crazy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes, I do remember her.
There's a big fight with her, and basically Mocha joins in, and Tsukune and Mocha are fighting together, and he's like, "Unlock holy luck, level one, blah blah blah. I'm awesome now. Oh, yeah, the Jigento." The Jigento, which is that thing that her sister uses to cut through shit, he can block that. So that was a pretty awesome fight, because we finally see Tsukune, like, just go into a fight and fight as himself, which is not something we see a lot. It's either like, hey Mocha, help, or I'm gonna let myself get taken over by the vampire blood now.
Okay, yeah, that seems like a nice, change of pace.
Like, it's happened a couple times since the transformation, but this is like the big one where, like, Mocha sees him fight and she's like, holy shit, I don't have to protect him anymore. Fight with him, yes. Protect him, no.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it sounds cool. I need to get back into that series. I think I'm going to be starting again from the beginning.
Yeah, bunch of crazy shit, like, Alucard's awake now.
Okay. The Ajar Geiger Dragon.
Yeah. A bunch of more people showed up on both sides, and Mocha's whole family is there. Her father, with his entire vampire army, is bad guys. Her mom, no, not her mom, her stepmom. Her stepmom's there. And her sisters, all of them. So yeah, the whole family's there, and all trying to murder each other. But Cocoa did show up, and she's now awesome.
Okay.
Also, that one guy, whose name I also forget, who has a lolly complex. Yeah, he admitted to having a lolly complex. In order to help Cocoa fight, he's like, "Nah, no one will ever be better than you in my mind." Just because you're a lolicon. Yes, that may be true, but it doesn't change my point. And there's actually a canon reason for that. It's because of the type of monster he is. He's said to like children.
Okay. That's disturbing.
So yeah, there's a reason behind why he's got a lolly complex.
Yeah, reason or not, lolly complex is still kind of creepy.
Yes, quite creepy. Because, yeah, they're quite a bit younger. I mean, it's a bit different with Tsukune. I mean, he's got a younger girl who pretty much sexually harasses him.
Yeah.
But it's the other way around. It's just a little bit wrong.
Just a bit. Anyway, moving on from that horrible image.
But yeah, that's what I've been reading.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so on to me. So, I checked out the Bright World Project.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. One thing you forgot to mention.
What?
The Prime Minister's aide? Kind of a supervillain.
Oh, did I forget to mention that?
Yeah, you did.
Well, there you go.
When we first see the Prime Minister's aide, he has on a very bizarre mask, which is half black, half white, with a giant smile on it, and is doing a hand symbol over his face. Looks like he's about to release Alucard's level 1 seal. And yep. he's also like fully deformed with like stretching out, like his body's all covered in black, his face is like all hidden in shadows and stuff. There's like bats and shit flying behind him. And the weight and like the text that they use for when he speaks, it's all scratchy and shit, like he's about to kill everyone. Yeah, I just felt like that was worth mentioning.
Kind of a supervillain.
Like, guys, everything.
Yeah, it's a good first chapter. It's really good. Yeah, I'm gonna keep reading this when they start coming out with more chapters, but yeah, like, I did not expect the level of stereotypes in this. Like, seriously, we got, like, the otaku who's only into 2D girls, the, like, childhood best friend who was madly in love with him, like, the psychopathic kid who's in there, like, the fat one.
Ah, the fat one.
Yeah, like, every group needs a fat one. There's... Yeah, I can't even remember them all. There's just so many stereotypes. And... Yeah, it's a really great series. Like, it's... As stereotyped as it is, it's still really fun for the first chapter. It's got really great art in it. The story is appropriately ridiculous.
Unique, if nothing else.
Yeah, if nothing else. But it's plenty else. Yeah, anyway, people should definitely check out this chapter. It's really good. So moving on to something we haven't talked about before. I read the first chapter of Bullet Armors.
Mm-hmm.
This is an entirely new series that pretty sure only the first chapter's out so far. And so it's set on some world where a race of sentient machines have kind of taken over most of the planet. Like the planet's kind of a wasteland except for like some specific areas, and the rest is just filled with like mechanical robots whose names escape me. I can't remember what they're actually called. But anyways, there's this one kid, his name I believe is Ion, He has a habit of breaking out of the city through, like, holes and shit, and then just grabbing a bunch of broken tech and running back inside, because he loves machines. Like, he is madly in love with machines. And so he lives with his sister, whose name also escapes me. And yeah, so they're just living together. She's always, like, yelling at him for going outside of the city, because, like, their parents are either dead or not there. I don't remember which. It's been a while since I read this. I didn't write much down on it. But anyway, then one day, some guy walks into the city who has one of those things on his arm. It turns out he's what's called a breeder, I believe they're called, which is essentially someone who can control one of these machines. And so then I'm going to look up his name. I need to see if I'm getting all this right. So just give me a sec to load this up. Guys, Vamp.
We can't Vamp. You should know this by now.
I didn't know what else to do.
Great, now we're gonna get
sued. These machines are called Tremors. Yeah, so they've taken over the world. And yes, anyway, this guy comes in, he is Breeder. And what he does is, and so like, Skune is, Ion is just all up on him. Yeah, I can't find his name, but fuck it, I'm just gonna keep calling him Ion. And so Ion is all up on him, it's like, oh dude, how do you control these things? I was like, they're so awesome, how do you do it? How do you do it? And then he starts talking about, oh, so you have this like, node thing, where you just like push it down, push it to the left, then spin it, then hit this button and this button. And, as it turns out, during one of his recent trips into the wastelands, Ion found a node. So then one day he goes out into the wilderness, and he activates his node, and he finds like a giant robot arm. So he activates his node, and then the arm comes to life. And then it is just kind of a friend of his now. And so it's just this arm, and then like a bunch more Tremors show up and just start fighting him, and then the breeder comes along and just fucks them all up, and then Ion's like, fuck you, dude, I'm a breeder too, then just like, runs at him with the fist in his arms, even though the fist is like twice the size of him. And the fist actually manages to punch the robot so hard it blows up. And the guy's like, huh. Well, that was dope. Yeah, so anyway, then the fist like launches them back to the city, and then the guy who is a friend of their dad's before they left said, because this breeder was a friend of their dad's, guy said, hey, get strong and go into this world to, like, make your father proud or something. So that fast forwards to 10 years in the future, where Ion has trained with his giant hand, which he has since called Bullet. And that's the series, just him wandering the wastelands with Bullet. Hmm. It's really cool. It's really well drawn. It's got a really cool premise. Like, the designs of the robots are always really cool. And even though this thing is just a hand, it's a pretty awesome looking hand. And yeah, I'm really excited. Like, this is a really good series. I can't wait to see more of it. And yeah, so everyone check out Bullet Armors. It's a really great new series. And it's only one chapter's out so far. I think it was done by, Dark Murmur Scans. So check them out, it's an awesome series. So moving on to another single chapter that I'd read, 99.9. So yeah, this one day there's this kid who later in the chapter is called Rocky. So I'm just gonna call him Rocky. So anyway, Rocky's just sitting at home one night, fucking around with an FM radio, and then he accidentally stumbles across 99.9, which is, I guess, impossible because, like, as he said, like, Japanese radios, I guess they don't go to 99.9 or something.
Okay.
He found them like 99.9 megahertz, even though it doesn't really do that. He said, like, the range of Japanese radios goes from like 77.1 to 81.6 or something. But anyway, so he's just fucking around with the radio, then he sees it, and then he goes, so then he's like, huh, must be broken, so puts it down, goes to work the next day, and then he meets the guy whose voice was on the radio last night. And he is just speaking in this really drab monotone voice, like no expression on his face. I was like, hey, I need, like, hey, I need some things. And then he starts talking, and Rocky starts talking to him. And the guy's just like, I like your voice. Come with me. And then just grabs him by the arm and walks off with him. Listen to a radio station where he is apparently the host. He's like a shock jockey or something. So he's just on there talking, and then as soon as he gets the microphone, his personality completely changes. He like gets a lot more upbeat, like his, like before whenever he talks, like the boxes were kind of like square-ish and just like regular block text in it. But then when he starts talking, like the text is all in like cursive writing and the speech bubbles are all like bloomy and stuff. And there's actually, like, he starts doing, like, idol poses in the, like, the radio booth. Which, you know, radio.
So yeah, this doesn't really show up very well. That works about as well as me not sitting here and nodding.
Yeah, so anyway, this guy's name, turns out, is Michael. And when he gets a microphone, according to someone else in the studio, he, quote, goes berserk. And so, using the power of radio, they go out to fight crime. I'm not even kidding. A girl got kidnapped. Like, they got, like, they got calling, it's like, hey, a girl got kidnapped. And then Michael just like, hey, Rocky, man the booth. I'm going out. Just walking through with the microphone while Rocky's manning the switchboard. And then Michael just finds the guy and kicks him in the face. It's like, right, we saved the girl. Ta-da! And then Rocky starts working for the radio station, and I guess they just broadcast radio and fight crime. It's really bizarre. All right.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense.
Yeah, like, I can't remember what I was gonna say. Damn it. Wait, so, Baka updates. They listed the chapter as a one-shot, but I'm not sure because it kind of builds, like, it ends like a first chapter of a manga would. With, like, it turns out anyone who's, like, listens to 99.9 is, like, involved in the radio station and they go off to fight crime together. And then Rocky gets a job at the radio station because he's like, oh, fuck, dude, I gotta use all this awesome, like, use all these switchboards. This is fucking awesome. I love technology. Because, you know, he's kind of like Ion.
Wouldn't it suck to, you know, be in that universe and turn to 99.9 in Toronto? Just get fucking Virgin Radio. Like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. I want to go fight crime.
Yeah. Yeah, this is only for Japan, people.
It only works in Japan.
Yeah, like, in my town, if you went to 99.9, you'd be turning your knob to Bob.
That's 91.9.
I don't fucking care. Whatever. It's just fucking. You know, anyway, 99.9. It's a pretty good one shot. The art's pretty good. The story is interesting enough. Like, I like Rocky's reaction to everything because he's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, he's, like, when Michael is, like, dragging him off, he's like, am I being kidnapped? Like, what's going on? But yeah, it's a fun series, it's got an interesting premise, and I kinda like Michael. I'm just, like, the drab monotone, like, his facial expression doesn't change at all when he doesn't have the mic on, but as soon as he gets in front of the mic, he just, like, a switch is flipped, he just fucking changes instantly, and it's pretty cool. But yeah, check out 99.9, it's pretty good. Hopefully they do more of this. Okay, then finally, I read the entirety of Uzumaki. It was weird. So, for those who don't know, this series has been out for a while, I believe. Yeah, quite a while, according to Manga Update. The last chapter, which is the end of the series, was updated 2,083 days ago. So, there's this town called Kurozucho. It's this nice, small little town on the coast, and apparently it's cursed. Yeah, so on the main character, Kirie, her boyfriend, Saito, says that it is cursed by spirals.
Those fucking spirals, man.
Yeah, and it turns out he's right. Because, so his dad gets obsessed with spirals, and like starts drawing like spirals over everything, he like sees spirals everywhere, and then he actually kills himself by rolling himself into a spiral.
That's impressive.
Yeah, like what? Yeah, it's like when they find him, like he had like one of those big casks things, like the circle ones that they put Sasuke in Naruto, only like thinner. I guess not as doesn't have as high is not as high. So he's in there and he fills up the entirety of it with his spiral. Like his feet start on the outside and then it rolls into his head, which is now like a needle thing. His fingers are all rolled into spirals. What it's weird because like his fingers seem to have extended in length by about 17 inches. And his tongue is also a spiral.
Once again, I'm just impressed by that.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
But anyway, the ability to do that to yourself.
Yeah, it's and to close the lid afterwards. So anyway, then they start cremating him. A bunch of other people die, so they start cremating him. And then all the ashes from there form spiral clouds in the sky, which then sink into the water of a lake near Kirie's house, where her father goes in, gets clay out of, and then starts making fucked up pottery with the souls of the dead in it that all turn out like spirals. Then people start turning into snails. Then like there's this couple who want to be together but they can't because their parents won't let them, and then like on the beach they like collapse into themselves, just like wrap their bodies around themselves and swim up into the ocean like a sea serpent.
Goddamn spirals, man.
It's a bizarre series, but it has a lot of really creepy moments in it.
I mean, with the exception of cinnamon rolls, there is nothing good that comes in the shape of a spiral.
What about the emblem on Naruto's back? That's a spiral.
His last name is
Uzumaki. Which means spiral. Naruto is the curse.
Naruto is cursed!
But yeah, it is just... It can be a very creepy series. It can also be a very stupid series, but it can be a very creepy series. Like, one of the chapters that, like, reminds me of the stupid things that it does is... So there's this one character, I don't remember his name, because I don't really care, he's not one of the main characters. So anyway, I believe his nickname was, like, Jack in the Box. He kept jumping out of everywhere and scaring people. Because he thought it was charming. So anyway, it turns out he has a cross on Kirie. And so he starts jumping out at her. Trying to impress her. Like walking through a cemetery, just popping out. Like, hey girl, what's up? So he gives her a present, and she starts giving it back, and he won't accept it. And then he tries to reenact something he saw on TV by using the power of love to stop a car. It did not work.
Well, no shit.
Yeah, so, anyway, she goes home that night, opens up the present, turns out it's a jack-in-the-box. She makes it pop, and then she's, like, talking to her boyfriend or something, and the jack-in-the-box starts talking to her, saying, it's your fault he's dead. But he'll be coming back for you, just you wait. So and then she and Saito go down to the graveyard and dig up the body. They remove all the nails from the coffin, and then he pops out. Just pops out and starts bouncing after them. Just a corpse bouncing after them.
Hopping zombies!
Yep. Then it loses his guts, then his legs, then the lower half of his body, and then he's just bouncing around on a spring. Because, yeah.
Okay.
Spirals. Yeah, so they at first thought that it was his spine had turned into a spring because spirals. But no, it was actually the suspension from the car that hit him. The coroner just lifted it in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you do. But yeah, they don't explain a lot about what is actually going on in this town. Like, it gets very bizarre with what happens. Everything gets destroyed in the town because, like, even the slightest noise causes a whirlwind. And then everyone in the town starts, like, cramming themselves into these really old houses. And they, like, all, like, they end up, like, turning into, like, one gelatinous body. And they just start, like, building the houses as they go along, and then just creates a giant spiral. That leads into the center of the town, which is just, like, this big ocean. It's, like, this big pond thing. And then it turns out there's a spiral staircase in there that leads down into, like, an area full of... where it's, like, paved with the bodies of the dead. Like, literally paved. The bodies have turned to stone.
Alright, like, so I think everyone in that... everyone in that town needs to fucking move.
That's the thing, they can't leave.
Why?
They try to leave, and the town won't let them.
Yeah, it brings them back.
The roads are all shaped of spirals!
They come back, but it's actually a spiral. If they just keep going, if they just keep trying, they'll slowly go in an outward spiral until they reach the next town. They just have to spiral their way there. You gotta play by the rules.
Like, everyone tries to leave. Like, well, actually, they don't try to leave until the whirlwinds happen. But, like, every time they do try to leave, they, like, go into the woods, and then everything spirals there, so the trees start to grab them, like they're from Evil Dead. And then...
Did they try leaving in a spiral?
Yes. They just spiraled inward. Then they follow that path backwards, and they spiraled inward again. It spirals and spirals, dude.
Spirals aren't intimidating.
Yeah, and it gets, well, in this they fucking are, because, like, what they do to people is fucking insane. At the point where the whirlwinds are happening, the townspeople have run out of food. So what they do is anytime someone starts to turn into a snail, they kill them and eat them. You know, just for fun. Yeah, it's a good series. I liked it. It's only 20 chapters. You can like breeze through it in an afternoon. But there are some genuinely really creepy moments in there. Like, there's this one bit where a girl has, like, a spiral in the center of her forehead, and then just starts, and, like, everyone is, like, attracted to her because of the spiral. Because, you know, spirals, they, like, draw your attention toward the center of it, I guess. And so that's how she just has this, how everyone is attracted to her. But then as time goes on, the spiral starts getting bigger and bigger, and then eventually eats one of her eyes, and then eats her entire head, then eats the rest of her. It's genuinely really creepy. Like, just seeing her eye spiral into her own head. Everyone, like, check the series out. If, like, you're not the squeamish type, just check out the series. It is really creepy. It can be really creepy. It has stupider moments, but it can be really creepy at times, and it's definitely worth a look. You guys should check it out. So anyway, that does it for what we've been reading then. On to news!
Hooray for news!
Yeah. So, first up, Studio Ghibli has announced the latest two additions to their upcoming film slate. So first up is The Wind Rises from Hayao Miyazaki. Based on a recent comic of his, The Wind Rises centers on Jiro Horikoshi, who was the man who designed the Zero Fighter used by Japanese pilots in World War II. And everyone's pigs. Kind of like Porco Rosso, except everyone's a pig.
Okay,
so
then.
Second film added to the list is Princess Kaguya Story, from director Isao Takahata, who did Grave of the Fireflies. So the film is going to be based on a Japanese folk story called Tales of the Bamboo Cutter, which was also referenced in a earlier Takahata story called My Neighbors the Yamadas. And yeah, those two films are going to be made by Studio Ghibli now. And I don't really know anything about Tale of the Bamboo Cutter, but it sounds riveting. But yeah, it's fucking Hayao Miyazaki. Come on.
Yep.
But anywho, moving on. So, a little while ago, Yahoo Japan streamed a trailer for One Piece Film Z. So the trailer for a new film coming up, which will be featuring a brand new character, Ain, who is voiced by Ryoko Shinohara from Street Fighter II, the movie, and Kyofu no Kyo-chan. And it also, in the trailer, it's very bizarre because it has two songs from Canadian artist Avril Lavigne. The first, her cover of Bad Reputation, and the second, her cover of How You Remind Me. Yep, the Nickelback song.
And I must say, it is less horrible than the original.
I know!
Like, it's not even bland!
Yeah, it's actually okay! And that scares me!
Like, you would think, like, use Avril Lavigne and Nickelback together in the same sentence that your ears are gonna bleed, but no.
I guess it's just math. Like, a negative plus a negative equals a positive.
A negative times a negative equals a positive. If you're going to take things from my Facebook statuses, read the comments right.
Yeah, I already knew that. Like, it's simple math stuff. I just messed up my mathematical operations.
Let's blame Jay.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so people go to see this movie, we'll be getting, we'll receive an 84-page volume 1000 of One Piece with special art and a One Piece Treasure World card. And, yeah, I have no idea what this film's actually about.
I know there's a dude with a giant, like, robot jetpack fist.
And he punches people. And he...
Like, I don't mean, like, just giant. I mean, like, that fist is fucking bigger than me.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's related to Frankie in any way, because recently Frankie started looking a lot like that. Frankie's their cyborg. And it's weird, because he is a cyborg that he built. Like, he was just a person, but then he got hit by a boat. Like, he actually got hit by a train, so then he made himself a cyborg to live. And he runs on cola. Like, three bottles of diet.
That's a good choice
for
fuel.
Yeah, three bottles of diet, three bottles of Coca-Cola, and he is good to go. But anyway, the film opens up in Japan on December 15th, so you can check that out if you're in Japan. You want to check this out. Like, I am going to be seeing this. It looks really cool. I haven't really been up on the One Piece films. Like, I haven't seen any of them. But I might just check this one out. Like, it has Whitebeard in his prime, which is actually really cool, because the only time I've seen Whitebeard is when he was, like, hooked up to a dialysis machine and when he was dead. So yeah, it'll be nice to see him alive. Anyway, moving on to our final piece of news. The December issue of Monthly Dragon Age magazine announced on Friday that they'll be carrying the new adaptation of Shoji Gatto's Full Metal Panic light novel series. For now, the series is being called Full Metal Panic Zero, and it'll be written by Tetsuro Kasahara, who wrote Rideback. The series will be debuting in the next issue of the magazine, which comes out on December 8th. And this actually comes right off the tail of Full Metal Sigma coming to an end with its next volume.
Well, how convenient.
Yeah. So that is for news. Now it is time for Anime Club!
So, Deadman, this week was your pick, so tell us what you picked.
Well, I will, Bully Wong. Yeah, so this week we watched Deadman Wonderland. This is based on a manga, which was written by Jinsei Kataoka and drawn by Kazuma Kondo, who were also the guys who did the manga, I believe, for Eureka 7. And the anime was animated by Manglobe, who also made Eureka 7, I believe. But anyway, so the series focuses on Igarashi Ganta, who is a regular old high school kid. You know, he's just going to school one day with his friends, just hanging out. And then a bleeding man in a bunch of armor and shit floated up to his third floor window, which, as he said, floating? But we're on the third floor!
And everyone knows it's really hard to float on the third floor.
Yeah. So wait, then the man in red, who Ganta cleverly calls the Red Man, proceeds to slaughter everyone except for him. It's a very special present for him. Instead, he creates a jewel in his hand and shoves it into Ganta's chest. Then Ganta is framed for all the murders and sent to Dead Man Wonderland, which is Japan's one and only privately owned prison. There all the prisoners maintain and operate Dead Man Wonderland's built-in amusement park. And yeah, and then as the series goes on, we learn that Ganta is actually a dead man. Someone who has the ability to control their blood and use it for superpowers. Yeah, his specifically, he forms his blood into bullets. You know, as the series goes on, we meet more dead men like Crow, who is one of my favorites, who has the ability to turn his blood into blades that he like juts at the, like juts out of the side of his arms that he can slice at the speed of sound. Because that's how blood
works.
That's
pretty impressive.
Yeah, and then also in the series, we have Shiro, who is this albino girl in a onesie neck brace and boxing gloves, who has some connection to Ganta that at the point of the anime, I believe, we've all watched up to at least, they haven't really gotten into. We just know they're from their past. So yeah, I am a big fan of the manga for this. I've read pretty much every chapter they've released, and I fucking love it. And the anime is a very good adaptation of it. Like, I really love the animation in it. The voice acting is pretty good. They make a couple changes that I'm not that fond of, but I'll get to those a bit later. So, Punchatron, when we recorded the anime club supplement earlier, you said you had a rant to go on.
Alright! There are a couple issues I took with this. I'll be straight up. I wasn't not exactly a huge fan. I'm not knocking the actual production of the thing. It looks very pretty. Voice acting's great and everything. It's just the I really am not a fan of shows where it's like, hey, everybody's an asshole. This guy's the least of an asshole. He's the good guy. You should cheer for him.
I want him
dead just as much as Shiro's the only fucking person who makes sense.
Shiro's not an asshole. Crow becomes less of an asshole.
Yeah, it's like Shiro and it expects the dead men, I guess, are the ones that make the most amount of sense in this.
Yeah, and like, his story arc over the series actually makes him a bit more of a sympathetic character.
But, there's no way that... The issue I take is that there was no way that this would ever happen.
Oh, I'm fuck no.
The superpowers and everything. It's just the prison.
And oh, fuck yeah, no.
It's violations. And
it's a horrible idea.
Let's see, let's put the promoter for the prison, let's put the promoter for the privately owned prison that's there to make money in charge of the defense of murder suspects? Yeah, that's not a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
It's not like either position was secret. So there's a massive conspiracy in the Japanese government here to rebuild Tokyo, which apparently is the only city that was affected by this red hole.
They call it the dead hole in the thing I watch, but that's actually bullshit. That's one of the things they changed from the show that I didn't like.
But it's like, inconsistencies! Things,
yes, like,
laws don't work like that!
Yeah, so anyway, like, in the show, they say that Japan, like, 10 years prior to the show, an anomalous gravitational incident happened in Japan called the Dead Hole or the Red Hole. But in the manga, it's an earthquake. That's it. It's a big earthquake that sinks a big percentage of Japan. And so, God, how much was it? I think it was like over 10% of the country was underwater now.
Hmm.
Which I think makes a bit more sense than anomalous gravitational incident.
That happened to Tokyo.
Yeah. Like, oh man, we need to fix Japan's economy because Tokyo got gravitized.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
set up a single prison. A single torture fair to display to the public, and we'll save our country from that because fuck financial aid.
Yeah, Yeah, like with, like in the manga, I feel like it made a bit more sense, like with, because like with a good chunk of the country underwater, the country's financial, like thing would kind of collapse because, hey, we just lost a lot of our country. What do we do?
That and an earthquake sinking 10% of Japan is, you know, plausible.
Yeah.
Very plausible.
The explanation as to why it happened isn't really plausible, but we'll get into that. Or maybe not. Who knows?
But, yeah, at the point I had seen, it was just after Ganta's first dead man fight with Crow.
Ah, Crow.
And it's like, you're a bunch of people with superpowers, many of which can form blades.
Yeah.
And the collars are not exactly sturdy built stuff. You've already shown what you can destroy with them. With your powers, cut the collars off that are killing you?
I believe the moment you try and cut them off, they'll kill you. That whole deal.
Like, if you tamper with them, they'll kill you, and, like, it's... Like, you've seen the size of Crow's blades. It'll be kind of hard to cut that thing off without cutting yourself.
You can change the shape of it. He does it on multiple occasions.
Yeah, he does.
He can get them up under there and just... instantly. It's like, if not, kill the guards. Kill the guards. Leave the prison grounds. Destroy the transmitter that controls the collars.
But then they wouldn't be able to fight anyone.
Oh, they'd be free. Damn
that the transvestite wouldn't have a kitchen.
in that
prison, they get like a candy every 3 days, and they get just like, while they do get like minimal freedoms, they do get some, like, they do get to live in pretty luxury. The place they live in is pretty nice, from what I remember.
Yeah, I just don't see how it could possibly work, you know, after a major disaster, the whole, even years
after. Suspension of disbelief.
That's the problem. I couldn't.
You can suspend your disbelief?
Seriously?
Yeah, like it... Well, yeah, so anyway, this prison, Dead Man Wonderland, which is Japan's one and only privately owned prison, is an amusement park where people can go and, like, watch the prisoners debase themselves for cast points, which are what they use for currency. And everyone in the prison has a collar on. Well, anyway, I guess everyone on death row has a collar on.
Everybody has a collar. It's just the death row ones are the ones that kill you.
Yeah, so the death row inmates, they have a collar that slowly injects a poison into their veins, where unless they eat a special piece of candy every 3 days, they will die. And, like, it'll be, like, their eyes and mouth explode in blood, then they die.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so as it turns out, Ganta is one of these dead men, and all the dead men are kept locked up in, in G Block, which is a secret hidden block of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Even hidden from the G-cupped warden. Which,
yeah.
I like G-Block is hidden from the G-cup.
But I actually like the warden. Like, yeah, she's kind of just there for, like, dominatrix thing, but she don't take no shit, and she's not, and while her sex, and while her, like, sex appeal is kind of played up, it doesn't really, like, affect her character that much. I just kind of like her, because she, like, what she does later, which, like, is actually pretty awesome. Wait, I'm talking about the manga, I'm going to talk about the anime. The anime, you do like. And so anyway, the NG block, all the dead men are used for this thing called Corpse Carnival. Or Carnival Corpse, I can't remember which order they put it in. Carnival Corpse. Yeah, and what it is two dead men fighting each other to the death for holographic playing cards. Well, they're not playing for the holographic playing cards. They are fighting because holographic playing cards are watching them. And yeah, there are some weird dead men in there. Like, Yo's sister is one of them, and Yo is like an inmate of his that, you know, it's a friend of Ganta's that he met in the prison.
Friend is kind of relative in this situation.
Yeah, he thinks he's a friend.
Yeah, spoilers, I guess.
They know. They know by now.
The first thing you see of him is, even just that. Like, why the hell did he take the candy?
Because the promoter told him to.
Was that a thing that the promoter told him to do?
I'm guessing.
It's not like he's on death row. He doesn't need it.
Yeah, so that's why I took it. It only makes sense that the promoter would say, "Hey, take this kid's candy." You know, and then he'll be freaking out, and then I guess he gets to build trust, "Hey, take the candy," and then wait a couple days until he's at the very end, then give it to him back, so that he'll think you're a friend. Say, "Hey, I bought this for you. Here you go. You don't want you to die because we're friends." And it's like, "Oh man, thank you so much."
Yeah.
So anyway, Yo in this series is the Krillin so far. Because pretty much everything we've seen him in, he's been fucked up in some way. Like when they first meet him, he gets slapped by a sword. In the second episode, he gets his arm broken. Because everyone wants to fuck this kid up.
So this show needs a Yo-owned count.
Yes. Yeah, and the other character that I guess we can talk about is Shiro, who is the albino girl in the onesie with the neck collar, with the neck brace and the boxing gloves.
Don't forget the very skin tight onesie.
Yeah, that shit is form fitting. But anyway, yeah, she lives in the prison. She knows Ganta from the past or something. We don't really at this point. I'm guessing. I've only watched the first three and a half episodes of the series, but like I said, I read a lot of the manga, so I'm guessing at this point we don't really know her connection to Ganta.
There's a small flashback at one point, I think, when they're first going to G Block and Ganta gets knocked around and then he wakes up, sort of goes into a dream hallucination thing of what was going on, but
okay.
There's not quite pieces being put together yet.
Yeah. So, in the prison, actually, so the promoter, Tamaki, I believe his name is, who's the one who orchestrated all of this, he has this thing in place called the Mother Goose System, which is used to keep the Wretched Egg at bay. The Wretched Egg is the Red Man, who is just this guy in awesome-looking armor who fucks everything up that he sees. And the Mother Goose System is what keeps him at bay. It keeps him from going batshit crazy and killing everyone.
And it's awful.
Yes, it is. It breaks down every few episodes.
I can tell you right now, it never fucking works.
Yeah.
Because of insert spoilerific reason here. Although it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah.
It's kind of telegraphed from the first time the character shows up. But
yeah.
if you're listening closely,
spoiler alert, we're gonna talk about this.
Okay.
So you know Shiro's the Red Man, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, in the manga, I didn't pick up on that Shiro was the Red Man until we just kind of just saw her in the armor.
Yeah, the anime is not so subtle.
The moment you said that it repeatedly, the system repeatedly fails, I'm like, and you said Mother Goose system, I'm like, oh, so it's Shiro.
Yeah, it's like, she's out all the time.
Yeah.
But, and basically, what the reason Shiro is the one character who makes sense outside of the Dead Men, I guess, is she basically telegraphs her entire motivation in that first song.
Yeah.
You listen to it?
Yeah, it's...
If you any other song with me, I will kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, she starts singing a song about, Like a poor little woodpecker, your beak's been turned to poison by the forest gods.
Yeah.
It's, and so now, everyone you touch dies, and Ganta's name, like, so all the dead men, they're given bird names for the fight, and Ganta's bird name is Woodpecker?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, Shiro, like, it's a, the Mother Goose system, I'm guessing, is like a suppression system that keeps the Shiro, keeps like the Wretched Egg persona pushed underneath the Shiro persona.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and it fails a lot. Like, a lot.
Yeah, it's failed, at least twice.
So, by that math, it fails one every three episodes. It fails once every three episodes.
Yeah, three times.
So it fails once every two episodes.
Initial event, and then there's two other times where Wretched Egg goes out.
Yes, there's the first episode, the second episode, I believe he shows up again.
Yeah, when it's Ganta and Yo in the yard, I guess.
Have an ice cream.
Yeah, and then the red man shows up and wrecks their shit. And then when they're trying to get into G Block, I think.
Now, wasn't that Crow?
No. It's Shiro. Yo sends Shiro to the security office to take out the security systems and stuff so he can slip down through a fan.
Oh, okay. Something. Yeah, that scene.
And she does the smile, which is the really big tip off. That, look, it's the same person, so I'd assume it failed then too. Cause she, you know, exploded the security.
Everybody, sorry about that. My computer died for a second. So anyway, we're back. You were saying, Pudge?
Well, yeah. In fact, when the security office exploded, as I was talking about, you know, when she goes all event, I'm pretty sure that would be a failure of the Mother Goose system as well. Because, you know, she does the smile thing that the red man keeps on doing.
Yeah, I think there's actually a second person who wants the red man out. He's like some guy who like uses his blood, uses his branch of sin, which is the dead man power, to like take other people's bodies.
Huh.
He's introduced later in the show, but be like, even with all that like, really stupid shit, I still really like it. Like it's. Like, how many other how many other things have, like, this kind of power in them?
Cyclone no Quasar.
Cyclone no Quasar, what the fuck is that?
It's borderline porn is what it is.
I don't even want to know where to get the blood in that one.
It's not blood, it's metals. Basically, it's not the same setup, but there's essentially people throughout the world who have I forget what the exact title is, but they have a special type of person. They're called something. They have a weird name, you know, like Dead Man or something. But
yes,
and each person can control a certain metal on the periodic table. Like, the main character, I think his name's Sasha, is the one for iron.
Okay.
And then there's gold.
Yeah, metal makes a certain amount of sense as a weapon, like as like a power weapon, because you know, like metal is actually something you think is, hey, I can use this as a weapon. But blood?
Yeah, it's a liquid. People use liquids for.
Yeah, but very rarely their own blood, and very rarely in the methods they use in this one. Like, how many people use their blood as a gun, or as a sword, or as whips, or as explosives, or as iron fists.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, there's one guy like...
Avatar, The Last Airbender. To waterbenders.
Waterbenders? I've never seen a bloodbender cause someone to explode.
They could.
Although, it would be awesome if they did.
Oh yeah, yeah, that'd be fucking awesome, just...
They could, they just don't show it because it's a kid's show.
Well, they can't, like, show them, like, taking blood from something that's already dead and just, like, making, like, gauntlets with it?
No, I think you meant the exploding part. I mean, they could easily just make all of your blood explode out of your veins at once.
No, but
that'd be awesome.
No, but this isn't making
Nickelodeon.
But this isn't making your blood explode out of your veins. It's like making your blood into bombs. Like actual fire and explosion bombs. Because science.
Yeah, that makes complete and total thermodynamic sense.
Yeah. Like, there are so many weird powers that these guys have. But, yeah, it's just... I really like the show, and I really like the manga. And, like, the art is fantastic in it. Like, Kazuma Kondo is a really great artist. And the show carries that art style on very well. Like, just the one thing that's always weirded me out, though, with those powers is... Where do the hexagons come from?
Same place the runes come from.
No, like, honestly, like when the red man, like, when on the Wretched Egg and Ganta use their powers, like, go all full out, like, a bunch of purple hexagons form around them.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has those.
Well, the Wretched Egg is the...
Yeah, I know, it's the progenitor.
Yeah.
But,
and I wouldn't be surprised if Ganta is the next closest.
But why? What?
To the way he was infected.
But where are
he's
they?
He's the protagonist. The hexagons come from his protagonist powers.
Protagonist powers activate. Form of luck! Like, yeah, it wasn't crushed by all this debris. Ooh, everyone else was.
Well, that part actually does make physical sense. It would fracture naturally away from the point of impact.
No, I'm not even talking about using his powers to blow something up. I'm talking about just, like, he's standing there, rubble's falling. He's not doing anything. It would still miss him, I'm guessing.
Meh.
But yeah, fuck it. I really like this adaptation. Like, it's, I still prefer the manga, just cause. But I still love the anime. It's a really good anime. I like it anyway. The animation's really great in it. If you like Eureka 7's art style, you really love this one because they're the same. And I do recommend this series to anyone out there. It's a good series. You definitely check it out. It's nice and ridiculous. And in the manga, Crow has an eye patch. It's like Kenpachi's eye patch.
No, yeah, I would expect that comes after he loses his first fight with Ganta.
Right. Yes, I forgot about that. For some reason, I thought he had the eye patch from the beginning. Like, that's just how I'm used to seeing him now.
Yeah, I was kind of watching closely in that first episode, and they were going through the montage to see if they showed him with the eye patch, and they go, plot hole!
No, he was just a cop. Or something.
I mean, in the dark room when you saw him weightlifting,
mm.
They were all in the prison at that point.
Yeah.
So it's towards the end of the episode, not in the credit sequence, though.
Yeah, I know. But actually, just before we end, the one thing that I kind of found a bit weird, I'm pretty sure the opening theme song is sung by English people.
Like, yes. Oh.
Like English-speaking people, I don't see that a lot in the anime that I choose to watch.
I think one or two of the Death Note themes were entirely in English.
No.
Well, the one really screaming one, I'm pretty sure was.
No. That's Maximum the Hormone. There's actually not as much English as you think. I know the song.
Unintelligible intelligible screaming.
No, like a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be hard to tell the English from the Japanese, but yeah, there's not that much English in it. They yeah, like, do.
The English that I know is like from I'm thinking from like one of the things is it's like sucker fucker what up people. And that's all I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of from that opening theme. But anyway, Dead Man Wonderland. I recommend it. Both of you want?
Yeah, I'd at least recommend giving it a shot.
Okay, Pudge?
Looks pretty, and, I mean, I'm not knocking the production of it, like I said at the beginning, but... I don't know, I couldn't get past the, in my opinion, glaring, you know, reality problems.
Fuck reality, this is Japan.
Well, I can suspend disbelief for something that's really fucking weird, but this is set 11 years in the future, and see, they either needed to have it changed a lot less, or set it way farther in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have fixed a lot of the things. Like, over a longer period of time, I could believe that Japan devolved into a no-rights totalitarian regime to...
I mean, like, look at the state of their high school students. Do you think the adults are any better?
What, they're all dead?
I'm talking about in general high school. I'm talking about in general. Japanese high school students are usually fucking insane, and since they have very little control... They just kind of go off the hook, but yeah, like adults, they, you know, I'm guessing they're so fucking crazy. They just need something to push them over the edge. And I'm guessing,
yeah,
you know,
that's what caused the major change is the previous generation's, high school students, grew up and now they really need to be reined in.
That's the other really bizarre thing. The high school students aren't insane.
Once again, it's the future.
Yeah. The year 3000. I guess in this case, in the year 2023.
Pretty much.
Yes. Man, next year you're going to be fucked.
I'm just all of
that. In Japan in 2013. Probably going to get fucked. Either by an anomalous gravitational event or by a fucking earthquake.
Exactly.
Jeez, an earthquake that sinks a large section of Japan. I hope that never happens.